much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh no, not this again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, let me get this straight. Your defense is that you shot the sheriff, but you did not shoot the deputy.
Jaw.
But you did shoot the sheriff.
Jaw.
And you're admitting that.
Jaw.
We don't need to get him on the deputy. If we prove he killed the sheriff, that's a life sentence right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's defending himself on murder by confessing to a completely different murder.
I have this weird hunch he might be high.
I just got off of work, and then I got high. Ooh, I was listening to Kevin and Bean, and then I got high. I called the Afro line. I don't know why, but man, because I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
And now,
the lovely Brooke Burke will show off her cha-cha next.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah.
Her cha-cha.
That's why I watched that show.
That's when I realized I should be watching it. Yeah. I didn't know that Brooke Burke's cha-cha was going to be on display for all to see.
Oh, yeah. She interviews with it.
Sweet. Yeah. Hey, what about the deputy's family, though? What about them? Don't they deserve some sort of justice? I mean, even if you convict him on the sheriff, the deputy's family is out there going, hey, he should do some time for killing our dad, too, right?
I think they just have to be happy that he's off the streets and he's paying the price for murder. I mean, it's probably a life sentence if you get put away for murder. So,
yeah,
you know. They'll have to take some comfort in that. We just couldn't pin him. We couldn't pin him.
I understand. Yeah. It's funny. You're a policeman in everything they ask you to do. They want you to be a cop. It's just there's something about that hair, I guess, Ralph, that screams cop.
I have played many cops. Yeah. Although my hair is getting long these days. I got to get to a barber. It's it's getting long.
You should grow to your waist.
Really? Yeah. Should I pull a bean and just wear it to my shoulders? Yeah. And
say that you're working on something.
Look like creepy Beethoven?
You have a goal.
Hey, what happened to your voice, by the way?
What? It's not better?
Oh, Lisa.
Really? It's worse?
That's good.
Wow. Yeah, maybe worse.
I feel better. My voice is worse.
No, it's spectacular.
It's sexy, right?
It is kind of sexy.
In a smoking, drinking, old lady kind of used to have sex way.
In a sort of hospice way. It is very sexy, yeah.
It's like Bea Arthur is still alive, actually. I have been working very hard on mine because I am also sick, and I got up extra early today, and I had the humidifier going, and I took a hot shower, and I'm drinking hot tea. I'm doing everything I can. This is the best I've sounded in the last 20 hours.
Yeah, but
I know
you don't sound terrible.
Sucks. I know it sucks.
No, you sound pretty good.
Hey, we're going to take your calls real quick at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. I just wanted to mention, because we didn't get a chance to talk about him last week, but the very representation, Ralph, of everything you hate about the South was this guy, this convenience store worker, Chris Shaw, with his baseball cap and his scruffy beard and his missing the two or three front teeth, who won the Powerball last week. Did you see this guy on the news?
I just saw a photo with the story. I did not see this story on the news.
$258.8 million he won the Powerball, okay?
God now, bless him.
He had $30 to his name. That includes all of his savings, all of his checking, all the change from the couch, everything that was in his pocket. He had $30 to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could argue, well, it was a smart thing to do to take five of my $30 and buy lottery tickets with it because look how it ended up. But if that's the way he handles money, what's he going to do with $258 million? Yeah. Seriously, if you are blowing a sixth of your money buying lottery tickets, what's he going to do with that kind of cash?
How long until he's back to 30? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, exactly.
Although,
is this a guy that's hopeless?
Is this the total that he got, or was this the total of the jackpot? Because you know,
yeah, that's the jackpot, so he got a lot less.
He gets half, let's say. All right. So, what did you say, 236?
258 is what he
either way, he's getting eight figures. I mean, getting...
Let's say he's getting $100 million to be conservative. You would have to do some serious spending in order to spend off $100 million, even in a lifetime. That's how much money that is.
Yeah, that is true.
So he might be right. He might be able to last. That money might be able to last.
Only because it's so much.
Exactly.
It's not like he won $15 million.
Right.
You'd have to get creative, like Mike Tyson got. You have to get out of your mind.
You have to feed $100 bills to your tiger.
Yeah. Really? Well, I definitely am going to make a note to check back and see what Mr. Shaw is up to in 5 years, because I'm fascinated to see what a guy like that does. If he'll spend five of his 30 on lottery tickets, I can't wait to see what choices he makes.
Maybe he'll spend a couple the $100,000 on teeth. Maybe he'll
I think that'd be a good choice, actually. All right, good call. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What to
it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Ryan, Justin, Jonathan, you guys hang on. We're going to get to you in a moment. Here's what you get for being on the air with us. How about Dr. Green Thumb's Spring Gathering? This is an awesome show coming up Saturday at the NOS Event Center, hosted by Be Real from Cypress Hill. Method Man will be there, Red Man, Cottonmouth Kings, a band called Revolution, which sounds fun. Fishbone and Head PE are all on the bill, too. That's your prize for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Let's start with Ryan. He's on line one, calling the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for dialing in. What to do?
Hey, Kevin Bean. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
What to do, Ryan?
Hey, what to do, Lisa May?
What to do?
I was just calling in and just wondering if you've heard Haley from Paramore with B.O.B.'s new single.
I have not heard that, but I do know that the King of Mexico loves it, loves it, loves it, and won't stop talking about it, but I personally have not listened to it yet. Do you like it?
Personally, it's amazing, especially they have a part two featuring Eminem. That is just insane. It's insane. It's seriously one of the best songs in a while.
Well, I'm glad you called, Ryan, because we really cannot take the King of Mexico's opinion on anything involving Haley from Paramore.
That's true.
And especially this album, which he's been raving about, which actually comes out today. He's been talking about it endlessly. He's the best rapper. Oh, B.O.B. Oh, and Haley is on the album. Oh, it's my favorite.
I love Haley.
But that song is awesome, Ryan. I agree.
I was also going to ask Psycho Mike, did you really show your penis to Andy Dick last night?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's not
the first time. I'm going. Thank you.
You're going. Yeah, okay.
Good call, Ryan. Andy and Mike have had a long-standing relationship, yeah. So it's okay.
Are you guys close enough that he can just walk in the room and say, hey, Mike, let me see it, and then you're required, bound by friendship, to show it to him?
I don't know if it's at that point yet, but it was just one of those things where I didn't see any downside to showing it at that point. I mean, he was far enough away. He was in a group. We were in a group of people. There was a lot of people there. He wasn't going to reach out and grab it or assault me. And I figured, hey, if he wants to look at it, what's the big deal?
And if you're sporting so little, it really isn't a big deal to show that off. Really.
It's true.
Exactly.
It's true.
It's like saying, let me see that skin tag on your neck.
And to be honest, I felt like it was a big step for me to go ahead and show it. It was like I was embracing the fact that I have these shortcomings, these character flaws.
Yeah. You're only as sick as your secrets, Mike.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh, good one. Yeah. Let's try Justin. By the way, you hung up on the caller number one. He does win a prize.
He hung up in
disgust.
Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right. Justin, line two. Thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What to do?
Justin?
Hello, Justin. Going once.
Justin.
Hello.
What to do, Justin?
Hi, Justin.
There he is. Hello.
Morning. I just wanted to say that the search at the Gizmodo blogger's house was very interesting. I thought it was positive press when the iPhone photos leaked, but now with the search warrant, it seems like it's going to be a little negative backlash, possibly.
You have me at a disadvantage, Justin. I'm not familiar with the Gizmodo blogger house search story.
Me either.
What? Well, the police executed a search warrant at the house of the blogger who leaked the new iPhone photos last week.
The iPad? Right. The iPad photos?
The new iPhone.
The new iPhone. Okay. All right.
Which had been very much under wraps, as Apple likes to do it. You know, they like to control all of the information about their new products until Steve Jobs stands out on a stage and says, here's what it is.
One
of their employees who was working on it left it in a bar. And Gizmodo ended up, he didn't find it, right? He bought it from the guy who did find it for $5,000. Is that right, Justin?
Right. That's what they say, yeah.
And then he put all sorts of pictures and analysis. Of course, Apple shut it down as soon as they realized it was missing. They actually, you know, they have a beacon signal that they can send out that makes it inoperable.
Mm.
But in the few minutes that he had it, he was able to do some stuff with it and write about it and talk about, you know, the weight and the screen and the resolution and where the camera is and some of the new buttons and whatnot. But what's this have to do with the police? I mean, is it because he bought stolen merchandise and knew it? Is that what their angle is?
That's what it seems they're looking at. And I just think you'd have a hard time convincing 12 people that he did anything wrong.
I agree.
You know,
unless he bought stolen merchandise, then that would be wrong and illegal.
Wasn't really stolen. The guy just found it somewhere.
Yeah.
No, but that guy sold it to Gizmodo, Lisa.
Yeah.
You're right. The guy didn't steal it, but he knew it wasn't his.
Yeah.
He knew that he found it in a bar.
If no one has any new iPhones and his proprietary technology and he owns it, really, that's not legal.
I suppose.
I say it's a new iPhone. He did the right thing. That's what I say. I hope to get on his jury.
I say execute him.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. One more. How about Jonathan? He is on line four. Jonathan, thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, guys? How you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to know, you guys excited for the fight this weekend or what?
Oh, I can't wait. This is, other than Pacquiao Mayweather, maybe the best possible matchup I could think of.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. Because, boxing's been getting a bad rep lately, and just this fight's going to be the best, dude. I'm telling you right now. It's going to pull boxing out of its slump, man. I swear to God.
I think Mayweather's going to have his hands full with Mosley. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, Mayweather's just too fast, can't be hit. But I think Mosley has the speed and strength to give him a real tough time.
Did you see what he did to Margarito?
Yeah, I know. Look.
He knocked him out, man.
I'm a big Sugar Shane fan, so I'm looking forward to this fight.
I know. I'm telling you, man. I think he's going to knock him out in the eighth round. He's going to run a line, he's going to chase him down, cut off the ring, he's going to knock him out. That's what's going to happen. I already know it.
I think if Shane's going to knock him out, it's going to have to be earlier because he is a little older than Mayweather. Mayweather's conditioning is just ridiculous. The guy can get on his bike and just stay away from here for 12 rounds. So
that's so true.
He's got to get in there early, and if he can get a shot in, I think he could knock him out. Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. I do hope you get 8 rounds out of it because there's nothing worse than the anticipation of a fight that ends in the second round. You know, you do feel a little ripped off, even if it's an amazing physical prowess.
I've seen some good knockouts in early rounds, though, that I said that was worth it.
All right. Hey, Chewy, we're not going to have time to get to your call, but I guarantee Ralph is going to be talking about the Jenna Jameson news coming up in the Showbiz Beat here in just a couple minutes, because that was an ugly story yesterday. Yeah. All right. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Stephen Hawking in the news. He is perhaps the smartest man in the world. Certainly people listen to him when he talks, and he has some very stern advice for us in the event that we encounter an alien. And believe me, Ralph, I listened very closely to what the professor had to say, because you know me. My only goal in life is to live long enough to see E.T.
Yeah, you're actively searching for aliens. Yeah. You're trying to connect.
Exactly. So I don't know if I'm going to follow his advice or not.
I think he said also, curl up in a ball and pretend to be dead. Isn't that what he's saying?
No.
Pee yourself or something?
You're thinking of a bear.
Oh, that's
across
right.
A bear.
That's right. Bear.
Also, we got a new internet roundup for you today, including some fantastic new stuff on the internet. We troll it so you don't have to. My belly button is exploding. It's starting to look more and more like that volcano in Iceland. Wait till you see the new pictures today.
Oh, I don't know if I want to.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I want to look at them.
Was it Alien? Was it the movie Alien?
Yeah. Yes.
The thing comes out of
that baby alien burst out of the chest and scared across the room.
That is what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll discuss that today, and I'll need some free medical advice from you, because I'm going to put some pictures up on the website for you this morning so you can help me decide what's going on.
Give me a penknife and a lighter. I'll take care of it.
A lot of people yesterday got pretty grossed out by even a discussion of my belly button, by the way.
Well,
I guess for some people that's icky.
Yeah, I do not like the belly button. It's one of my least favorite parts of the body. I don't like it being touched. I don't like touching it myself. I have issues with that area.
It's a sketchy area on the body to begin with. So you add in the mutant factor that this guy's got, and it's a whole different. You know, it's just a mess.
He is the host of Web Soup on G4. Chris Hardwick joins us in studio to talk all things nerd. And we've got tickets for Iron Man 2. You can see it 3 days ahead of its opening week from Friday. Give you a chance to see that early. And if you are a comic book fan, I think you'll be very pleased with your ability to win those tickets today. Plus, how much time do you spend? How much time can you spend? How much time can you get away with looking at porn at work? There's a story in the news that's going to lead us to ask you that question, too. That's all coming up on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, that's just a lot of noise. That's all that is. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's 5:53. Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Hey. I'm the only guy who can speak today.
Yeah.
It's kind of empowering.
You do sound good.
It's kind of empowering. To have the clean, dulcet tones of a radio professional, be able to speak to you, find folks out there in radio land.
Just take control.
It's nice.
What about
how can I be on the radio? Well, there's traffic out there. We have one of those land spills.
That's what I'm dealing with today.
You know what I need to try now that I got the voice?
What?
The FBI?
That's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
That is pretty. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Ah, this is an ugly story. Tito Ortiz, legendary. No, that's a different Tito. MMA fighter. And his girlfriend, former adult film star Jenna Jameson, apparently had a bit of a tussle yesterday, depending on who you believe. Now, keep in mind, Tito was arrested on felony domestic violence charges yesterday morning down in Huntington Beach, California, where they live. TMZ.com says the police responded after someone dialed 911 about the disturbance and found Jenna with visible injuries, so they took him in. Now, immediately after that, Tito, once he got out of jail held a press conference to tell his side of the story with his lawyer.
Okay.
You don't see usually it happen this quickly. But Tito and his lawyer jumped in front of this story, and they claim that Jenna has an OxyContin addiction and has had for the past year, and that it's tearing up their family. She has threatened suicide. Apparently, according to this story, Tito confronted Jenna with the drugs and her addiction, which she denied. There was an altercation, but he never touched her, Tito claims. Guess we'll have to wait and see. But Jenna has been seen wearing a brace on her arm now, and apparently had some visible damage to her elbow and arm area. So we don't know what happened. But
the emotion, too much for Tito.
Yeah, too much for Tito.
Imagine if you're the Huntington Beach cop and you get that call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're going to need you to go down to Tito Ortiz's house.
Take him in.
Cuff and tag that guy.
Yeah. Couldn't I just wrestle a bear instead? Don't you have that available for me today? Tito apparently discovered his wife had a substance abuse problem and decided to beat it out of her. Speaking of beatings, Rihanna's in the news.
Whoa, whoa.
She was performing in Frankfurt, Germany on April the 23rd, and photographers snapped photos of her leaving her after party arm in arm with a young lady.
Oh my gosh.
Leading to speculation that perhaps Rihanna is involved in a lady relationship. There have been rumors for some time that Rihanna may be bisexual, and she has previously said in an interview, "All humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes. I mean, I could see myself in a relationship with a girl." Now, some sources are claiming this is just a close friend of Rihanna's, but they do share the same tattoo. Rihanna recently got one on her chest, which says, "Never a failure, always a lesson." She has it backwards on her chest, so she can read that motto in the mirror.
Right.
Okay. And the girl that she was with had the same tattoo on her inner arm.
Oh.
Lending to speculation, perhaps they're more than just friends. Perhaps they are bagel buddies.
Yeah!
To salute to tuna!
How close would you have to be with a girlfriend to get matching tattoos, Lisa? Yeah. That goes beyond just let's get together for Sex in the City night.
That's pretty close. That's
more than buddies, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. Apparently they have another tattoo that says... I can't even say what I was gonna say.
God, I need to know.
I'll tell you later. So weird living in this world we live in now. You don't know what you can get away with.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
Speaking of lesbians, Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
Remember her in Bound?
Yep.
Of course. Who was the other actress in Bound with her, the famous lesbian relationship?
Gabourey Sidibe.
No, it was not.
Was it Meg Tilly? Or
Jennifer Tilly.
And, of course, in Showgirls, she also had some
Showgirls was off
action.
The charts, boner time.
She's got a new boyfriend. Apparently, she's been keeping this relationship under wraps, but they've since gone public. Noah Wiley from ER.
Oh, wow.
Is currently involved with Gina Gershon. That's an interesting couple.
Yeah.
They've been photographed vacationing together and been seen hugging and holding hands, so apparently they're going public with their relationship. Bit of an age difference there, but Gina's holding up pretty well, so...
That is adorable.
Nick Jonas is in the news.
Oh.
This is kind of a fun story. And I feel bad for the dude in the story. Apparently, Nick Jonas was out and about and carrying his man purse, his merce.
Like they do?
His man bag. And there was a dude out there who was mocking him for it. Hey, nice purse.
Okay. Which Nick, is the only right thing to do, by the way.
Yeah, until Nick tells you that he's diabetic and he uses it to carry his insulin and needles. That's why he's got to carry a bag like that, because he needs his diabetic supplies.
Oh, yeah, he wins.
Don't you feel like a douchebag?
Yeah, you sure do.
Reportedly, the guy felt horrible and apologized, but Nick just laughed about it and said it was no big deal. So he gave him his chastity ring as a show of good faith. And this is an odd story. We should talk about weird people who live without things the rest of us absolutely couldn't live without. The actor's name is Vincent Kartheiser. The actor plays Pete Campbell on Mad Men, if you watch that show.
Oh, okay.
He's the smarmy Pete Campbell in the advertising agency. He doesn't have a toilet in his house.
Wait, I'm sorry.
He doesn't own a toilet.
Where does one use the bathroom?
He has to go to his neighbor's.
Does he live in Prague in a hostel?
He says, "I live in my house is just basically a wooden box. I mean, I am planning to get a toilet at some point, but for now, I have to go to the neighbors.
And the neighbors are okay with that?
Apparently. Vincent is an artsy guy who believes in minimalism. He doesn't own a car. His house is just a one-room bungalow. It's not even really a home. He uses public transportation everywhere he goes. He says the only thing he really owns is a bed. And so someday he plans on getting the toilet, but until that day, he has to go a knocking when nature comes a calling.
How do you even find a place to buy or rent that doesn't have a toilet?
Yeah, whatever, wherever he's living, it wasn't a house before he got there.
It's like a shed. He's living in a shed in someone's yard or something.
It was a garage.
What a crazy transition to the obsessiveness with opulence and you know, materialism.
Yeah, he's a good actor, isn't he?
Plays.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor William Moseley from the Chronicles of Narnia is 23 years old today. Singer-guitarist Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy is 26 years old today. Singer Sheena Easton is 51 years old today. I loved Sheena Easton back in the day. She was hot.
Yes.
And Scottish. Very Scottish.
Yeah. And sexy. And she was a good singer, too. I wonder what happened to Sheena. I wonder if she's still performing around.
She is.
She was a punk rocker.
Wow. Fie all.
Fie all. This should be a separate fire to really obscure bad references.
At least that was a Ramon song, and I believe we play that here at this, that the flagship's, all right.
She does still show up at Indian casinos and whatnot. You can still see Sheena Easton in concert every once in a while. Yeah.
I bet I'd have a shot now. I couldn't bet you would. Day, but at 51, I bet I could chat her up after a show for a few cocktails. Next thing you know.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Sugar walls. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 62 years old today. Legendary DJ, announcer, and voiceover actor Casey Kasem celebrates his 78th birthday today. And Ace Frehley of Kiss.
Woo! Yeah.
You want the best? You got the best. He's not even with the band anymore, is he, Ace?
No.
I think they kicked him out.
They did.
Yeah, he's 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I love the aliens, as you know, Lisa. You know that that's my goal in life, is to live long enough to meet extraterrestrials. I really mean it. I would be so sad if I died and then they showed up the next day. But the smartest man in the world, Dr. Stephen Hawking, British astrophysicist, says, don't be so quick to welcome the aliens.
Finally tonight, maybe no one on planet Earth has a keener grasp of the cosmos than Stephen Hawking. So when the renowned astrophysicist warns of the risk posed by aliens, what is he talking about?
To my mathematical brain, the numbers alone make thinking about aliens perfectly rational.
100 billion galaxies out there? Why would Earth be the only populated planet?
Real challenge is to try and work out what aliens might actually be like.
He doesn't think they'll all be like Alien 2, but any alien that makes it to Earth could be unfriendly.
The outcome would be much as when Christopher Columbus first landed in America, which didn't turn out very well for the Native Americans.
Well, that's a pretty good point. Dr. Hawking joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, it's great to talk to you. You're certainly making a lot of news with this tape that's gotten out from your Discovery special. You are serious about this.
I am as serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
Or as a debilitating neuromuscular disease.
Which, more to the point. So, would you not be pleased if you found out that the aliens were among us? I mean, just as a scientist, I would imagine you would be excited for the opportunity to see them, meet them, learn from them.
Hell no. I would have to start kicking some alien ass and taking names, mofo.
I notice in the movies, that's the first thing we always seem to do when the aliens come, is we look for ways to kill them or capture them. It sounds like that's what you'd do in real life.
If any aliens come to Earth, they obviously would need to colonize this planet for their own, having depleted their resources in arriving here. They would treat us much like an infestation, eliminating us for like vermin to take over the planet.
Wow. You don't think it's possible they could come on a peaceful mission? Maybe they have scientists that want to see what we look like to them?
No. Bitches.
I like to think that it's possible that they could just be like E.T., you know, where they reach out and they just want to be friendly.
You are a sucker and a douchebag.
Well, I don't know that you need to start calling names. I'm just more optimistic than you are, Doctor. That's all.
If the aliens come to this planet, they will certainly wipe us out. They will be beyond our scope in technology and brain power. More than likely, they will not walk around on legs like we do, but use more efficient wheels, perhaps even a chair that is motorized. They will not waste their energy speaking. They will probably do it through technology, like with a keyboard and speaker.
Okay.
They will be geniuses who will know the most information about the universe out of anyone on the planet.
Okay, but wait a minute, Doctor. It sounds like with the wheelchair and the vocoder, it sounds like maybe you're talking about you.
No.
What everything you just described about what the aliens are likely to be like is a perfect description of you.
No, I am a human, and I am not here to wipe you all out.
Oh, I see. I think I see.
Don't worry about me. Don't even look at me. Don't even talk about me. I am friendly, human, me.
What country were you born in, Dr. Hawking?
Oh, look at the time. I have to go now.
Name your parents. Let's hear your parents.
Goodbye, fellow humans, that we are all of the same species.
What's your social security number?
Bye.
Oh, I love Helly so much.
Oh, Helly. Oh. She is such a good singer, and she's, like, pretty.
And she's so cute.
Oh, he's, like, a big fan of mine.
It's 106.7 KROQ, the world-famous K-Rock 636. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I apologize for the voice. I think it will get better as the show goes on today. I think I'm in a little better shape than I was an hour ago, and I think I'll be even better an hour from now. So please bear with me. Your chance to win Iron Man 2 tickets. See it 3 days before it opens. Coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show, the host of Web Soup on G4, Chris Hardwick, joins us, and my terrifying belly button, all coming up in the next few minutes. Right now, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
I believe, and I know I don't get a lot of agreement from y'all, that if it's not on the internet, it's not worth seeing, thinking, or talking about.
We know you do.
Yeah.
And that's why we work so hard every week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup to compile the best clips of things that are going around. It's hard to keep up with all of it, so we do it for you. For instance, we don't have audio for this, but as seen on TV, You're Doing It Wrong. Somebody has taken the time to compile all of the before people in the As Seen on TV commercials, the people who have the blanket slipping off their feet, or the people who can't open the jar. That leads to selling stuff on As Seen on TV, and it's unbelievable how much people struggle. You have to see this video. It's very funny. Very funny. Here's some inventors who have invented, and I don't know why, if this is part of a larger project of what, but they have invented something that will haunt your nightmares for the rest of your life if you look at it. It is a robot mouth. It's a mouth on a stick that makes this sound. Kind of looks like Admiral Akbar. Wait till you see the thing. It's terrifying. Ralph, I know you're a huge fan of baseball. It's your favorite sport by far.
Nope.
There's a rain delay at a minor league game.
And kill me now. I'm already at a minor league game, and then it starts to rain. Just take my life, because I absolutely have nothing else to do.
You have to give credit to the minor league franchises, though, that work so hard to entertain the peeps, because they know how difficult it is to get people to come out and see what's barely professional sports, okay? These players, it's unbelievable, the choreography and the little tricks, the things that they do to try to entertain fans during the rain delay. Here's a little of the play-by-play.
The Hilltoppers, well, they thought they'd go for a little make-believe roller coaster ride. FAU countered by mimicking a rock band, complete with mosh pit. Western Kentucky countered with a commando ray, using bats as rifles and also as, well, bats.
They just go back and forth. One team will do something, and then the other team will do something even crazier and more outrageous. Very, very impressive. Maybe if they spent a little more time practicing baseball instead of the choreographed dance routines to do at the park, they might be in the major leagues. That's the only thing I'll say. We don't usually put actual official song videos up in the Internet Roundup, but this one just broke over the weekend. And MIA, who, as you know, is a crazy Sri Lankan who just does very politically explosive art.
Yeah.
This video is already being pulled from YouTube, and apparently there's already people who are protesting it. And it's crazy. I mean, it's filmed by an actual movie director, and it looks like a movie. It's about 9 minutes long. It's epic. You've got guys that are going in and pulling out redheaded people. yes, it's another attack on the gingers, pulling redheaded people out of their homes and then herding them out into the desert to shoot them. It's pretty intense.
Oh, my God.
MIA, and the song is awesome, too. It sounds like something that came off the Clash album Sandinista back in the day. MIA, the song is called Born Free. Here's a clip. No context. I don't know why they're rounding up all the gingers, but it's an awesome video, and you definitely got to check it out. I mean, it really does look like a movie.
Lisa.
What?
You're in trouble. Redheads.
Yeah, you're going to take me out?
Redheads are being rounded up. The healthy ones are being killed. What shot do you think you
I
have?
I think we're the first to go.
Exactly.
Yep. Of the week.
Yep. Say goodbye. Hey, if there's anyone on the show you wanted to have sex with before you die, today might be the day, Lisa. I don't know how anybody is committed enough to this project to spend the time to edit together the 100 best movie lines in 200 seconds. Everything's on the screen for about a second at a time, and you'll recognize virtually every one of them. Here's just a taste.
You can do it!
He's slimy.
Toga!
It's in the hole!
What'd you do?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
Forever.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Not a tumor.
Price is wrong, bitch.
Oh, it's awesome.
That is
who
great.
Are these people that take the time to do that? I mean,
who
imagine how labor-intensive that is. It's crazy, right? Every week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, which you can find at kevinandbean.com, we like to pay tribute to our friend Jimmy Kimmel. He does something called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, where he takes shows from all over the TV dial. None of them are swearing. None of them need to be beeped, but he beeps it in a way that makes you feel like it should be.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
Police say a man f***ed his girlfriend for years, get this, using her cell phone.
April 20th is practically a high holiday for f***ers.
Oh, Niecy, there is no doubt about it. You are the s*** queen. We've never had anybody s*** the way you s*** tonight, girlfriend.
Are American children too fat to f***?
Michelle continues to suck up her 15 minutes of fame, this time by stripping and f***ing.
Oh, look. Can we him, Barney?
That's a good question, baby Bop. You should always ask before you the dog you don't know.
Okay. Wow. That's so wrong.
That's so funny.
And finally, I have to give Ralph the credit on doing the research on the guys behind, I think, the best video of the whole week. It looks like it's coming right off the Laker pregame show with Channel 9, which is the Los Angeles station that carries the Laker games during the playoffs. And they're interviewing fans, Kobe Bryant fans, out in front of Staples Center. And Ralph, you did a little research and found out who these guys are. They're brilliant.
Yeah, it's a little comedy group called Those Little Rabbits, and they're made up, basically, the centerpiece is a couple guys from the Groundlings, which is a sketch comedy troupe here in Los Angeles. Very funny guys. And they are responsible for the David Blaine videos. You ever see the guy playing David Blaine doing the street magic and people crazy and breaking into their house and they can't get rid of him? They got like a court order, a restraining order against him and stuff. Same group of guys. And this is a very funny video.
Check it out.
How you guys feel? You proud of your Lakers?
Yeah, Kobe Bryant. Love you, Kobe. The black mom boy. Hey, Kobe, text me something, man. I'll text you back something witty. Yeah, let's develop some inside jokes. I want to know you, man. Want to make you smile. Want to be your sunshine. Or let's take a day trip to Santa Barbara. Me and you. Let's hit up some charming shops. Let's buy some antiques.
Okay, so do you guys have anything you want to say to your Lakers?
It's a repeat.
Yeah, repeat.
Oh, hey, Kobe. Yo, seriously, man, call me, dude. I just want to, like, have a back and forth. Get inside the head of a champion. You know what I'm saying? Have a dialogue. Like, give you some meaningful compliments. I got you an orchid, baby. You're in Diamond Bar. You want to stop by? Stop by, man. You're upset. You need somebody to confide in. I'll be there for you. You know, it's like, I'll do that. I won't do that thing where people, like, try to fix everything. And, like, I got all the answers. Maybe I'll just hold you. You know, maybe we just hold each other and then, you know, be okay with the silence and, like, not feel like somebody has to say something. We'll just, like, listen to what our bodies tell us to do in that moment and just do what our bodies tell us to do. Whatever you need, because you do whatever we need out there on the court. So, like, I'm here to do whatever you need. I'm ready to give you all of me. You know, but not in a gay way.
KCAL 9, live outside the Staples Center for the first round.
Yeah, not the gay that guy. That guy is so awesome.
And he's a skinny white dude who's obviously a wigger, and he's just trying to, you know, talk to Kobe Lindahl Street, but he's obviously very much in love with him.
You have to see it. It is an outstanding edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can find it at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
You You are listening to Kevin Amici on a Tuesday. We'll talk about my exploding belly button coming up here in just a couple minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, dude?
Everybody talking about Tito Ortiz and his girlfriend Jenna Jameson. Yesterday, Tito was arrested for allegedly striking his girlfriend, adult film star Jenna Jameson. He was pulled in on a felony domestic violence charge, but immediately he and his lawyer got in front of the story claiming he never touched her. That the problem was that Jenna has an Oxycontin addiction, and he was confronting her, and that's what led to the argument. Police were called, and although she does have some visible damage to her arm, he claims he never touched her. Jenna, meanwhile, is firing back that his allegations are completely false. She doesn't have a drug problem, so apparently no one did anything, and yet somehow people still got arrested and the cops were called. Here's the sad part is they have two kids together, you know? So we'll have to wait and see how this shakes out. But I can't imagine it means good for their relationship, right?
No, I can't either. And the first thing I thought, by the way, when I saw her is, oh, my God, look what happened to her face. And then I realized it was just a bad plastic surgery.
How dare you, sir?
Hasn't been touched. Still looks like that. Those lips, dude. Those lips look like she's done 12 rounds.
That was Bean, Tito. Bean Baxter, in case you come looking for anybody. Lady Gaga is, I think she's a very creative young lady. I know we've had a discussion before where I find her oddly attractive, and I'm not really sure why. But now maybe here's my reason. She has a creative team of more than 100 people.
100?
That maintains her colorful image. All the makeup looks, the fashion looks, the hair, everything. She's got a staff of 100 people that she works with to maintain Lady Gaga at all times.
Wow. Well, she does go through 3 or 4 changes at any award show.
Yeah. They are stylists, artists, wardrobe, hair, makeup. They have a room, like a war room, where designers have what they call mood boards, where they do collages of different kinds of artwork and fashion inspirations, and they draw, and they cut and paste things, and that's how they come up with her look. It's a full-time job for 100 people to keep Lady Gaga being Lady Gaga.
There are less people than that designing the new Toyotas.
Exactly. So she seems like a very creative person. One of the story came from Esquire magazine. And they interviewed a guy named Brendan Sullivan, who was her DJ back in the early days. And he said, he's worked with this woman for a long time. He said, the most important thing you need to know about Lady Gaga is that this has all just started. He says that there's much more and very creative things to come from her. So,
if she goes any crazier with some of the outfits that she's wearing, she won't be able to walk.
That's true. Who is the dude? I shouldn't even bring this up. But there used to be like a new wave artist who used to be on stage in these giant triangles and stuff and everything, costumes. Bean, you know what I'm talking about?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I'll have to do a little research and see if I can come up with
just
it.
Just crazy outfits to the point where they couldn't even dance on stage or anything
He would be like in a giant triangle and he couldn't move at all when he was dealing with it when he was on stage. It was just very bizarre. Madonna, of course, was featured recently in the Glee episode that was on stage. No, excuse me, on television. And it was a great success. I heard you guys talking about Glee when I was gone with Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of this show. And the Madonna episode was a huge success. So much so that now all kinds of performers are lobbying to get a tribute episode on Glee. Britney Spears' management, apparently, has contacted show creator Ryan Murphy and said they would like them to do an entire show focused around the music and image of Britney Spears.
Doesn't it just seem like the first thing many Glee fans did when that episode ended was go right to their iTunes and buy not only the Glee versions, but the Madonna versions?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably just a cash cow with a show like that.
That video of Jane Lynch, by the way, doing Vogue was
too great. Awesome. I don't like Glee, and that video is amazing to me. I mean, I could sit and watch that on loop. It's so funny.
Apparently, Ryan Murphy told Entertainment Weekly magazine that Britney Spears episode is a potential. Also, the works of Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Billy Joel and Courtney Love have all been considered.
Okay.
For entire episodes. How would you do a Courtney Love episode?
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty wholesome high school kids.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I can't really picture some of those lyrics, but wow, interesting.
Speaking of C-Love, Nobody's Daughter. Her new CD is available today on
Stores Everywhere, the new Hole song. Do we have some tracks, don't we, of Hole's new song? I'm looking at Psycho Mike. He's looking at me with dead eyes. I'm guessing he wasn't aware of the audio that we pulled. We'll play it for you in the next hour. I'll play a couple samples of the new Courtney Love music. Also, B.O.B. has a new CD Ooh. In stores. B.O.B. presents The Adventures of Bobby Ray by B.O.B. Features the song Airplanes by Hayley Williams, that new song with the lead singer of Paramore. Also in stores today, Any Port in a Storm by Dirty Heads. Peter Frampton has a new CD.
Okay.
Can you believe that? Huh. Thank you, Mr. Churchill, it's called. And Drowning Pool by Drowning Pool, also available in stores. New DVDs, It's Complicated, with Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin, and Steve Martin is available, in case you missed it in theaters. Now I can avoid it on DVD as well. I'm very excited. And the final film of Heath Ledger, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, a film that he only partially filmed before his untimely passing, and Johnny Depp and Jude Law stepped in to complete the role for him. Christopher Plummer also stars, from director... Terry Gilliam. Terry Gilliam, yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Casey Kasem, 78 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 62 years old today. Ace Frehley, former guitarist for Kiss, is 59. Singer Sheena Easton celebrates her 51st birthday. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy is 26. And actor William Moseley from The Chronicles of Narnia celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 KROQ. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 707. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Your chance at Iron Man 2 tickets. See it before your friends do. 3 days early. We got those coming up on the program today. And is that Chris Hardwick joining us in the Kevin and Bean studios right now? Come on.
It is me.
Wow, it's been a long time since we've seen you, Chris Hardwick.
it's been so long. It was not actually in this building with the last time I was on.
Oh, it's a long time ago.
When I worked here, I worked in the old building. And this new facility is phenomenal.
Compared to
Lisa, do you remember Chris Hardwick from back in the 90s?
I remember him, but I don't know if we've ever really met.
Well, it's nice,
I'm formally sick. Oh,
you're sick.
Want to do
you're
that.
Sick. All right. Well, it doesn't matter because what I learned from radio is that when you talk on these mics, everyone it's just like a big petri dish. Everyone just shares
true.
Everything.
Yeah. I know that is true.
Well, Chris is a Chris Hardwick. If you don't know the name, is a he's one of those guys who has become a new media star. He failed at virtually everything that he did in radio, in television.
Gosh darn it, I tried.
And then he discovered a little something called the internet, and you have kind of figured out a way. You and Will Wheaton and some other guys have kind of figured out a way to just become king geek thanks to the beauty of the internet and, you know, the worldwide fan base. I mean, it's kind of amazing what you've done with the whole Nerdist thing.
I think it allowed our inner geeky to blossom. And basically come out of the basement, leave the D&D table.
Right.
And yes, I actually had a table for D&D, just for D&D. and then embrace it. And, you know, because digital culture is such a niche culture now, you know, we're able to connect with other people that, you know. And in the one sense, you feel like, oh, maybe I'm not so unique because there's a billion other people who like the same stuff I do. But at the same time, it's been super fun.
Well, that's what's really, really exciting. And I got into a conversation with somebody at Coachella a couple weeks ago that there are very few bands anymore. Muse is a great example of a band that everyone seems to love, and they sell millions of albums. There aren't very many of those anymore. What there are instead are hundreds of bands, maybe thousands of bands, like, you know, Edward Sharpe or somebody like that, who may sell tens of thousands of records, but really please those fans. And you don't have to get anybody anymore. Now the distribution channels are such that you can really make a pretty nice living just being, you know, what used to be considered a cult hero.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same conversation about comics where I say, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, we had super comics.
Yeah.
You know, your Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, a Seinfeld, Bill Cosby. And now, when you think of, like, who are the biggest comics? There's maybe a couple, like Chris Rock, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I know Dane sells out stadiums, you know, but when you
inexplicably.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to be rude about it, but all right.
You're absolutely right.
But yeah, so it really is this kind of these niche markets. And by the way, you can still do really well with niche markets. I mean, niche.
Yeah.
You know, niche can mean a million. It doesn't have to be, you know, 50 million. So it still can be a sizable audience.
Well, that's what the internet does more than anything is it kind of gives the voice of the voiceless the ability to talk and communicate with each other. people like comic book geeks.
It's also the downside, too. Sometimes you read stuff and you're like, ah, oh, man, not everyone should have an opinion that
true.
They can express
true,
publicly.
But before the internet, if you were into heavy metal music or comic books or video games, you kind of lived in your own little world, which you consider to be unique and all to you and your dorky friends. Now you have your chat rooms where you can go and talk as if it's the most important stuff in the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's an international community, yeah. Now, would folks best know you now from WebSoup on G4? Because G4 has really come on so big in the last couple of years as a viable network.
It has, yeah. WebSoup or Attack of the Show. It's funny, there was a pivotal point in my career when people stopped saying, "Did you sleep with Jenny McCarthy?" from when I worked on Single Out. And they started saying, "Did you sleep with Olivia Munn?" who I network with. Because people just assume when you sleep with people, you get to throw it in them. Yeah, I mean, you and Kevin have hooked up, right? I mean, because that's how it works.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, yeah. But who didn't in the 90s?
Yeah, it was the 90s, man. Grunge.
So I have to scratch, "Did you sleep with Jenny McCarthy?" off my list of questions for today, right? But she did cure you of autism, I heard. That is true,
I'm
right?
Okay now. I'm not fully okay, but I'm mostly okay.
What was it like having Jim Carrey as a stepdad? Can I still ask you that question?
It was like my two dads, but with just one dad. You never knew who you were going to get. It was really
Web
great.
Soup, though, must have been, I don't want to say a tough sell because it's perfect for G4, but there are a lot of people who have done similar things,
oh,
right?
That,
I mean,
well, that,
you got a lot of competition for that sort of show these
days. There's no question. I mean, like, that format is inexpensive. It's easy. You know, every network is scrambling over themselves to try to get some type of, you know, internet content-driven show on. Web Soup was, I think, one of the first of those kinds of shows. I mean, we're part of the Soup brand. But I know Tosh does his show and he does a great job. And I feel like there's room on 500 channels of television for everyone. Literally, there could be, every channel could have its own, you know, internet yeah. content show. And because of the niche culture we live in, someone can enjoy something from every show. Right. So there's room for all of us.
It is unbelievable how much content is coming. I mean, I don't know if you were listening on the way in, but we do a thing called the Internet Roundup once a week where we gather up some of our favorite videos, and the effort that people are putting into and the stuff that they're creating is so much better than most of what's on television these days. It's hard to keep track of all the good stuff out there.
Well, you know why? Because when people are creating their own content, there's not a network or a studio making bad decisions to justify their jobs.
So, true.
You know, they're not saying things like, "Oh yeah, we need to reference this one product because they gave us some money." I mean, you know, right. television is commercial, and it's basically designed to get people to watch ads, which is also kind of failing. But you know, internet content is all passion driven, so it's people can do whatever the hell they want.
Web Soup airs Wednesday nights at 8 on G4, and Chris is going to be doing a Nerdist podcast live at Largo, if you're listening to us in Southern California, Largo in Los Angeles on May the 11th. We'll talk about that and more with our guest Chris Hardwick when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. It's 106.7 KROQ, and it's 722. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. In our studio, Chris Hardwick. He is the Nerdist, and he calls himself that so that nobody else can try to call him that and make him feel bad. If he just owns it right up front,
you got to get the jump on people. You got to get the jump on them.
Absolutely.
He is the host of Web Soup. We'll talk about that in a moment. Chris, do you get a chance to look at the belly button photo at kevinandbean.com? You see that?
Yeah, I'm no doctor, but it looks like your spine is trying to escape via your navel.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Thank you. I put the photo up at kevinandbean.com. Look, it's been a problem for the last couple of years, and it's starting to get worse, and it's starting sometimes to change colors. And occasionally, I think I see like eyes and tentacles. And I don't know what's going on.
Are you sure it's not some sort of a mood navel that just changes with your... with your?
I don't know. But I'm not the kind of guy, and I don't know if you're like this, but I hate going to the doctor. Something's got to be pretty seriously wrong with me before I go to the doctor.
Yeah, but I would say now's that time.
Yeah, that falls into that category.
Well, a year ago was that time. This has been going on for 5 years.
Are you waiting for the hernia to form its own identity and get a job?
And let it go to the doctor.
Like an undeveloped twin sprouting up from
your move body. Out of the house.
Yeah, get a job, disc.
So go to kevinandbean.com because we are going to be taking some calls, especially if you are a medical professional. Maybe you can save me the trouble of going to see a doctor today. If you can just diagnose me over the phone, that would be great. You can call at 1-800-520-1067, or if you have comments on the photograph, at kevinandbean.com. All right, Web Soup airs Wednesday nights on G4, which is just a fantastic channel. And you're kind of doing double duty this week. I saw you last night. You were filling in for Kevin on Attack of the Show as well, right?
Yes. Kevin, I think Kevin Pereira got a little under the weather as well, and so I kind of flew in the last minute and hosted the show.
By the way, Lisa, you're going to love this. Yeah. Last night, I'm watching Chris on the show. And and he has this, you got so many hot nerd chicks on that show. It's not just Olivia, but everybody who works on that show is a hot nerd chick.
Yes.
And there's this girl, I don't know her name, I'm sorry, but she's doing, maybe it's Allison, she's doing a segment on a new tea kettle that will tweet you when the water is ready to be poured into your tea.
That's so great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Allison. That's Allison Haislip.
I love that. Yep.
That's a real product. That somebody said, smart. Oh, you know what? It's too difficult to watch a kettle on the stove now, or on the oven now, or a stove. Now we need it to tweet you so that you know it's ready.
That's We're just, very busy.
That's bad Twitter. That's bad Twitter use right there. That's for the person who was like, yeah, I guess I got bored with telling people when I was having breakfast, so I thought I could lower the bar even further by having my kettle tweet them.
No kidding. Unbelievable. That's a real product. But Chris's program is called Web Soup. If you haven't seen it, he basically does what we do with the Internet Roundup, which is take all the funny videos from the week and comment on them. Here's an example of what Chris does.
All right, so trying out a new skateboard trick on a dangerously sloped street lined with light poles is a great way to make a lasting impression on your internal organs. The Native Americans refer to that as a scrotum pole.
There it is. Now,
thank you very much, you guys. This is a great crowd.
What you couldn't see in the video is that a guy is skating down a street and goes, I'm going to say nut first, into a light pole. But a lot of stuff on the internet is self-inflicted because people want attention, and it works. Right. We give it to them.
That's right.
So I guess it is a form of negative reinforcement, but... why do they do it? It's mind-boggling.
As long as they're willing to do it for our entertainment, I guess we can't say no. You mentioned the Twitter.
Yes.
How did you end up with almost 1.4 million followers, and how much pressure is that for you to be a lot funnier than you are on Twitter?
I try not to be funny on Twitter all the time because no matter what you say on Twitter, there's an over-under, sort of, you know,
right.
Like there's a percentage of people that think it's the greatest thing they've ever read, a percentage of people that think it's the worst thing they've ever read, and a bunch of people who are like, meh. So, I mean, I don't know. I just try to play the law of averages. If I can get mostly positive responses, then I'm happy.
That's shocking, though. I mean, Dr. Drew, I think he's got to be approaching 2 million, right, Psycho Mike, on his Twitter?
Exactly.
And I think sometimes he is paralyzed by that because you don't want to waste that many people's time. It's one thing if you're wasting a couple of hundred or a couple thousand, but when you're literally talking to millions, you feel like you should bring something, I think.
Yeah, there is that, but then after a while you just sort of get used to it and you're kind of like, well, this is what I do. You're welcome to unfollow me. That's the
right.
joy of Twitter. You know, like if people follow you and they're like, you're stupid, then you're just kind of like, well, you know, you don't have to listen to my
you're
crap, right?
To
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly. You're stupid, Twitter person.
Good comeback.
Yeah.
I like
can I use that?
Yeah.
Okay,
totally.
What goes on May 11th at the Nerdist Podcast Live? What kind of guests do you have lined up for your show at the Largo?
It's basically I do this podcast, the Nerdist Podcast, and we have a lot of great guests on. Carolla's been on, John Hamm, Joel McHale. I just put up an episode with the Muppets today.
Really?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and so and Stan Lee will be next week. So, but what we did was we started doing a live show at Largo, and the first one was with the Adam Savage from MythBusters,
right.
And so there was a performance aspect of the show, and then he did stand up, and there was a round table, and so that's basically what it is. The live version of the show is just a beefier version of the podcast, which is normally an hour, but we beef it up to like an hour and a half and put live performances in. So May 11th. We're going to have it's going to be a mostly musical show. Tom Lennon from Reno 911 will be on.
Funny guy.
These guys named Paul and Storm, who tour with Jonathan Colton, a super awesome geeky dudes. And then my buddy Mike Furman, who's half of a comedy band that I'm in called Hard and Firm. And then a super special a musical comedy legend will be appearing on the show.
I'm afraid.
Oh, I hope it's George Carlin. That would be such a surprise.
we're bringing in a medium to channel his spirit. he's gonna tell us what's up with the afterlife and all of its crazy quirks.
How does one get tickets to see you on stage May 11th?
You could go to Nerdist.com. There's a calendar link, or go to Largo's website, which I believe is largo-la.com.
And Web Soup airs Wednesdays on the G4 at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Chris Hardwick,
yeah, thanks
for
all the
Kevin
plugs. Beecham, oh, Kevin, I mean, Bean.
Yes.
Kevin's not here. Bean, I have missed you guys so much, and it is such a genuine pleasure to come back onto the K-Rock.
Well, don't get used to it. All right, thanks for coming in.
No, I better leave.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:36.
94.3, it's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends.
Sure.
Lots of stuff planned for you today, along with all your favorites. We're going to be doing lunchtime at the Oldies, so whatever you do, keep it right here at Magic FM.
Lunchtime at the Oldies, Lisa.
Remember when Lisa was a woman?
That girl has lived a hard life since then.
Her voice was so silky and feminine.
It
was.
Yeah,
it was. You're right.
All right, now I got Wilford Brimley doing the traffic.
All right, you can go to KevinandMean.com and you can see the picture of my exploding belly button. I got to tell you, I know that I need to go to the doctor. I understand that since it's something that is getting worse, anytime something on your body changes and then gets worse, you need to get it looked at by a doctor. I got all that. I'm a little scared to go do that because I'm afraid of what the guy is going to tell me, and I don't know what to expect.
You don't need to know what to expect. Just go. Let him do his job and get that filthy, disgusting carbuncle of a navel that you have taken care of.
But what if it's super bad, though?
Even more of a reason to go to a doctor, dummy. That's when you go to doctors, when you have super bad things wrong with you.
I understand your reluctance to go. I mean, look, the chances are it may be something that you might have to get surgery for, and I understand you just don't want to hear that news.
Right.
But what if it gets worse? I mean, what
if it will get worse, obviously. You know? It's gotten worse.
But I'm a little bit afraid. I mean, people are telling me that it's a herniated umbilical cord.
All right.
Now, how can something like that develop when you're already an adult? If it was going to be a problem with the umbilical cord with some sort of way that the doctor tied it, wouldn't that happen to you fairly young in life? Like, what are the chances that happens to me as a grown man?
Who are you, Dr. Oz?
Know.
You don't need to know why it happened. If you have a problem, you get it taken care of.
Well, I mean, a herniation comes from pressure from within.
It's a tear.
Pushing outward, right?
A herniation is a tear somewhere in the abdominal wall, and for some reason, whatever it has pressure behind it, whether it's your intestine or anything else, comes through that tear and creates that bulge.
If you have any experience with this or if you're in the medical profession, we're going to take your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. I just have this vision that I'm going to walk in there and the guy's going to pull out a knife and he's just going to start carving away and then just start pulling like on a garden hose, just start pulling like feet and feet and feet of umbilical cord out of my
stomach. Well, that's how doctors do it. You walk into their office and they just slash you open and start to pull your innards out.
That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want that to happen.
Bean, it's not magician's top hat. He's not going to just keep pulling stuff out.
But I mean, it's manageable. It hurts, but it's something that I can live with.
You shouldn't have to live with it.
But what I'm saying is if the surgery is worse, I'm afraid to go and now be in a lot of pain because of what they have to do to make it go away.
That's what surgeons back surgery where you're not going to recover.
That's what a surgeon's goal is, to make your pain worse and to make you live with worse pain.
It's also not like you're a struggling musician on the streets of Hollywood and you have no insurance or ability to just go in and get this taken care of. You can, you know, you have means, you know?
Let's talk to Tanya real quick. Tanya has some advice for me. Maybe she can help me out. Hey, Tanya, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Bean. I looked at that picture on the computer, and I think you're being a baby about it. It's a hernia, and half the time they won't even operate on it. And if they do, they do it laparoscopically through two little incisions with little, so they don't even really go in there and cut you open.
Oh, what a baby Bean is.
Even worse. Exactly.
But if it's poking out of, if I had an innie and now I have an outie, I'm worried about what's on the other side of it. I'm worried that there's only a little bit that's showing on the outside, but that inside it's coiled up and there's like 30 feet of it.
Well, no, it's actually it's your intestinal tract.
And first of all, having an outie, what difference does it make what you drive? I don't even see your
point. Exactly, there you go.
I don't even know what Bean's talking about now.
All right, let's thank you very much for the call.
Listen,
Teddy.
Give me a box cutter and a bottle of vodka and I will fix you up.
Like we did the Civil War time.
Right? That's the next Kevin and Bean video.
It's me operating on
Kevin and Bean surgery.
Let's talk to Mike. Mike has been through this. He is the guy that we have been looking for because he has survived the baby eye coming out of his stomach. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
You're in trouble, dude.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Mike, don't
that's what
do
I'm
this.
Talking about.
They're going to cut you open, take a piece of the screen door, put it in there, latch it down, and you'll be good.
Oh,
but you're about
dude.
2 weeks of hell coming up.
Mike, you're not helping our situation here.
Well, what you can do is have Ralph push it in. You put a sock in there and then an ace bandage around it, and that'll take care of it.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. I don't want to hear the words, have Ralph push it in.
Sock in
no.
What? Can I push it in any way I want?
How you say that you had this, right, Mike? This happened to you?
It's actually a hernia. It's actually your abdominal walls, the muscle splits, and that's your intestine sticking out there, buddy.
But isn't
it? So you can see what you ate last night if you want. You can take a look and see what you ate.
Isn't it weird that a guy who's the picture of perfect health like I am, a guy who's so incredibly buff,
yeah,
would end up with something like this? This seems weird.
No,
this
actually,
should happen to weak people.
Being, this is very common amongst professional-level powerlifters like you, you know, because all the pressure on
you're
their
straining
abdomen.
So hard when yeah. you're lifting, you actually you tear your wall and your abdomen. Yeah.
Mike, how long was the recovery time for you after you had yours removed?
About 2.5 weeks of hell.
2.5 weeks. Oh.
When was your surgery done, Mike? When?
About 4 years ago, so 2006, say.
Yeah, but
and they used a fiberglass mesh, but I don't know what they use now. Well, you said you could save money because I know how tight you are, and cut a piece of your screen door off and take it with you.
Okay,
I think they just blow some stucco in there now. That's what they do. They just load you up with stucco.
All right, thank you, Mike. Let's take one more. Alan is a surgical nurse. He's got a lot of experience with the herniated belly button. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. It's a very common problem. In fact, if we all were to palpate our umbilicus, we'll all feel a little tiny weakness around the edges of the circumference where the stalk actually penetrates the rectus sheath. Now, it's pretty uncommon for
Did
it to
say
get
this
big.
On the air?
And
does sound like he's talking dirty to us right now.
I didn't say it was umbilicus.
No. Oh. I said circumference.
I'm sorry.
I thought you said umbilicus.
here's a better idea. Let's encourage B not to fix it. Then that loop of bowel will incarcerate and become septic, and he'll die.
Oh.
And as a medical professional, you're comfortable with that advice?
Well, I mean, that's what you want, right? You don't want to go and get it treated. You want to die, don't you?
No, I don't want to die. I want it to get better on its own. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that it will retreat.
What a ninny you are,
Bean. At 7:52, you are listening to Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Tickets to the most anticipated motion picture of 2010, Iron Man 2, will give you a chance to win it. See it 3 days before it opens. Stand by for a chance to call in. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, I went to the Iron Man 2 premiere last night on the red carpet.
Yeah, who'd you see?
I saw the movie.
Uh-huh.
It was fluffy. That's what Dave said to me.
Fluffy? He did not say those words.
Yes.
What does that mean?
He said, fluffy. Oh, Rob, I saw the movie last night at the premiere. I said, oh, it's awesome. What do you think? He was fluffy.
And did he give you any, like, the explanation?
Not really. He said, he's good at explosions and, like, action and stuff. And I was like, how's that fluffy?
Oh.
He's just fluffy.
Oh, I was on the red carpet, but because I was there, it was the rad carpet. Oh.
Put that in the file for Dave.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Shania Twain night Ooh. On American Idol tonight. Everyone tune in.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Don't. Country Wait, music blows.
She's back? I know that she was there when they were auditioning around the country. Yes. Now they're bringing her back for the... Okay.
Yes. Top six Idol contestants take on the Shania Twain songbook tonight. Oh, can you imagine... American Idol and country music.
They've had some real successes come out of there with Carrie Underwood and Kelly Pickler and others.
More reality TV news. Kate and John Gosselin's kids have been cleared to work again on television. The Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry has given work permits to all of Kate's 8 kids so that they can be on her new reality show, Kate Plus 8. That seems healthy for those kids, right?
Yeah.
Good to know the Department of Labor and Industry is looking out for them.
I guess Kate's argument is, look, I have limited skills and I have 8 kids. I need a way to make a living.
Look,
this is one way to get paid.
Kate can do anything she wants, but why should the kids have to be on television?
Well, because she's going to burn out very soon. And she can ride their own gravy train, you know, into however long. They're what, 8 years old or 3 years old or whatever the hell?
Here's the thing. John Gosselin, who has no job... still has to shell out $22,000 a month in child support to cater to the kids.
A month?
A month. And he's trying to find a gig. Us Weekly says he's trying to sell his BMW. And he said he's looking to get back into television, probably as a host.
Yeah, I could see that.
He said. Which
he's personality plus.
I would laugh at ordinarily until I watch some of the people who do work on television as hosts. And look, who knows what's going to happen. Jennifer Lopez's first husband, he's bitching and moaning. Ohani Noah is his name.
Hi.
He claims he has lost everything since the legal battle that pitted him against his ex-wife when he tried to sell off private home videos of the couple, publish a tell-all book, and make a movie about their marriage. Jennifer Lopez stepped in, slapped him with a lawsuit, $10 million lawsuit against him.
Mm.
And he says the legal action has caused him a lot of pain, frustration, and now he's broke.
Well, maybe he should have some sort of a life plan that involves him not making a living off of his ex-wife.
Yes, not sponging off of Jennifer Lopez. It's a problem when you screw Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, boy.
She will come at you. What? I didn't even.
All right.
And more lawsuits. Apparently, the Bagdasarian family.
Glendale?
The Ross Bagdasarian was the guy who created the Chipmunks. He went by the stage name of Dave Seville.
Mm-hmm.
His family is suing 20th Century Fox, claiming they are owed half of all profits from last year's super mega hit, The Squeakquel. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. The family claims that Fox stole substantial portions of the screenplay from Ross Bagdasarian Jr. He and his wife apparently wrote a screenplay about the Chipmunks, and they claim that they stole half their ideas. But they're already getting money from owning the characters, so I don't know how much more money they want for Alvin and the Chipmunks. But
they should just be lucky that America is still accepting of the Chipmunks 50 years later.
It is ridiculous.
It's crazy that they're still so popular. I mean, it made sense in the 50s because, hey, that's neat. You sped up somebody's voice to make it sound like a chipmunk. Right. Yeah. How is that still entertaining people?
I don't know. Because they sing all the single ladies. And they
they sure
do. Like little chipmunks.
Yeah.
That never ceases to be entertaining. That's just going to make you happy. That's all that's going to do. Billy Corgan and Courtney Love continue their love fest for each other. Oh, wait a minute. They hate each other's guts. Yesterday, Billy tweeted that Courtney has been living off her late husband Kurt Cobain's fortune and is an unfit mother. Well, he may have a few points there.
Although Courtney has had a lot more of a career in the last 10 years than Billy Corgan has.
That's true. Corgan tweeted, "Only you could abandon such a beautiful, incredible child who is smarter than you, cooler than you, and better than you. Oops, did I say too much? Billy,
He has writing credit on a couple of the songs on her new album.
Wow. I thought they were at odds.
Yeah, but they actually dated at the time, and they've worked together.
They work together, and then they fight again.
And she, you know, if you catch her at different moods, it's Billy Corgan's a douche or Billy Corgan's a genius.
Regarding Courtney's musical abilities, Billy wrote, "If you can't write your own songs, maybe you should just be happy that you fooled someone into doing your work for you."
Dude.
Regarding the new album.
That's intense.
Nobody's Daughter. Speaking of new music, we've got some clips to play for you. This is from the new B.O.B. CD, The Adventures of Bobby Ray. The song Airplanes features Hayley Williams, of course, lead singer for Paramore. Here's a little taste.
Yeah. Before they ever once compared me to Andre, before I ever got on my space, before they ever noticed my face. So let's just pretend and make wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes like shooting stars. I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky?
It's good stuff.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Hull's got a new disc out today. Nobody's Daughter is the name. Here's a little taste of a song you've heard us play a bunch of times. It's called Skinny Little Bitch. Done pretty well.
Yeah.
It makes you happy.
It does make me happy, Wing. Here's today's celebrity birthdays. Casey Kasem, legendary DJ, announcer.
How wealthy is that guy?
Legendary animation voice.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy was freaking Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Like Zoink Scoop!
It seems like he should get younger every year, doesn't it, on his birthday, Ralph?
Because he's counting down?
Yeah, because the numbers would go lower.
I'm hoping. Yes. I don't even have time to mark that.
He's 78 years old today. So as the numbers get lower, what happens to the hits, Beam?
The hits get bigger.
Oh, I see.
That's what I've heard anyway.
Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 62. Ace Frehley from Kiss turns 59 years old today. Singer Sheena Easton is 51. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy celebrates his 26th birthday. And actor William Mosley, The Chronicles of Narnia, is 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
arguably the most popular of all Foo Fighters songs coming up next. Also got some Muse and some Korn on the way. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget your chance to win tickets to go see Iron Man 2 coming up. Have you seen that yet, Ralph?
I have not seen it yet, no.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I have a screening coming up. I'll be going to this screening that we're giving tickets away for, but I've heard great things about it.
The trailer is unbelievable.
Yeah. And my comic book brethren are foaming at the mouth to look at this one.
All right. We are having some difficulty with our telephones right now. We are working on them hard to repair them because we'd love for you to be able to call in and talk about this story and how it relates to your own life. Your tax dollars at work, Ralph. What's going on with our friends at the Securities and Exchange Commission?
Great story of the SEC, which, if you're not familiar with this Securities and Exchange Commission, it's supposed to be the gatekeeper, the sheriff of the financial industry. You know, recently we've been going through some hard times in the economy due to largely to a lot of fraud that was perpetrated on Wall Street and guys like Bernie Madoff who had these Ponzi schemes who were ripping people off. So the SEC is the commission put in place by the government to protect us from these kinds of people. And they did an investigation into this watchdog group and they found out that over the past 2.5 years, so pretty much starting at the beginning of this economic crisis on Wall Street, 31 serious offenders in the SEC when they should have been looking into the regulations and the abuses of these regulations by these groups were actually sitting in their offices surfing porn websites, some offenders, for up to 8 hours of their workday.
Yay!
8 hours?
Senior employees of the SEC spent hours on the commission's computer, says this story, looking at sites like Naughty.com, Skankware, YouPorn, and others for up to 8 hours of their workday. And these weren't the people in cubicles sitting around. These were high-level senior executives with the commission with salaries ranging anywhere from $100,000 to $222,000 per year. So these are well-paid, high-placed people in this commission who are just taking our tax dollars and sitting around spanking it.
Who have, like, real things to do,
yes,
I'm thinking.
Right. These are people who needed to be at work instead of spending 8 hours a day accessing internet porn. One guy, let me just finish with this story. A senior SEC accountant attempted to access porn websites 1,800 times in a 2-week period, and she had 600 pornographic images on her computer hard drive. One guy filled all of the space on his government computer, so he had to download more images to CDs and DVDs that accumulated in boxes in his offices.
What's wrong with these people?
I have no idea, but they are horny.
Oh my God.
Are you going to work for the SEC, for starters?
Boy,
I have many questions about this, and we do want to take your calls, by the way, if you've got any thoughts on porn at work. And I'm especially curious if there's anyone who even approaches the record of some of the people you're talking about in this story that are able to watch porn for 8 hours a day.
No.
And why would you, by the way? As great as porn is, why would you need it for 8 hours in a row?
I think it really is based on what job you have. And you guys are saying these people have stuff to do. They're not just somebody in a cubicle. I'm saying the people in the cubicles have stuff to do. These executives don't. That's what they do. They make meetings, and they go for 15 minutes. They have lunch with another accountant.
But, Mike, these guys were attorneys and accountants. These are people who had projects to work on for the SEC. These weren't, you know, file clerks.
Right, right.
And every time, by the way, one of these news stories broke, whether it was the housing bubble bursting or the banks collapsing, you always saw the people on the news going, wow, we sure should have seen this coming. Wow, every single indication was there that this was happening and we just missed it. This is part of the reason. Literally, this is part of the reason
really
why we missed some of those things.
These
right?
officers were supposed to be safeguarding the economy. Meanwhile, they were just spanking it to internet porn.
I used to be a night watchman at a rehearsal studio for bands here in Southern California.
Right.
And when I had that job, all I did was I hung out in an office and sat in front of a computer, waited for guys to come in and sign in these studios. And that entire time I was there, I would almost watch porn.
That's completely reasonable because you are basically killing time. You've got nothing to do. These people not only have things to do, but are government employees. They are being paid by our tax dollars. That's why so many people are so incensed by this story.
Of course. And also, I don't understand SEC or any other business where something like this goes on. There has to be a culture of this being accepted and people are aware of it and allowed to do it, right?
And what makes me, yeah, exactly, because what makes me
frustrated. You're not hiding it. If you're doing it for 8 hours, people know you're doing it for 8 hours because it's obvious that you're not doing any work.
Because here at the radio station, there's all kinds of stinking firewalls and stuff that won't let me get to the good porn that I want to see on my computer when I'm working during the day.
You have to go home and do it.
I have to go home to look at my porn.
And we have a job that actually might come into use in our job.
Yeah, where
we,
all right, whatever
no,
you
don't
say.
Get me wrong. We mostly look at porn to enjoy it, but there's some reason why we might need to use that here at this station.
Couldn't the government put some sort of filter on their computers is what I'm
saying. Exactly. There's no reason the SEC could use porn in their job.
Let me ask you this. And by the way, Kyle writes in, hey, Kevin Amin, I won't be able to listen all day, but I wanted to weigh in on this topic. I could probably get away with watching porn 2 hours a day, but why would I? I can get the job done with just a few minutes. And that's a great point, Kyle, because and I when Psycho Mike talked about watching porn for 8 hours in a row, how does that not get boring after you've used it? You know what I'm saying?
You don't use it. You just tease yourself.
Exactly.
Just taunt yourself.
Until you get home?
Yeah. You just keep yourself right there on the precipice.
That's a long day.
There's times when I watch porn for that reason, and yes, that lasts 35 seconds. But there's other times when I watch porn just because, like, I've gotten bored of everything else on the internet, and that never gets boring to me to watch Tara Patrick naked doing nasty stuff. It just doesn't ever get old.
And there's a different girl that I haven't seen with her top off.
Sure.
But here's the thing that blows my mind, and before we get to the phone calls, I think there is something to be said, Psycho Mike notwithstanding, about someone who spends 8 hours a day just looking at porn on the internet. If you're going to waste time at work, you can play a game. You can go to TMZ.com. You can, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can do to kind of while away the hours if you're just looking to kill time. But to strictly dedicate 8 hours of your workday to only porn on the internet is I think there's a problem there.
It's shocking. It really is. It's really, really shocking, especially, and I don't know, I mean, obviously people in the upper reaches of government are just humans. They're no different necessarily than you or I, but you certainly expect some different result from them when they've got a job that's so important, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I understand a security guard looking at porn all day. A train engineer should not be looking at porn all day because he's got to keep his eyes on the road. He's got something to do.
Facebook. Right, let's look at Facebook. That's what he should do.
Let's take a break. 1-800-520-1067. The phones do seem like they are slowly coming back. So here's the question. If you've got thoughts on this story, we want to hear that. We also want to hear from you if you've been able to pull this off. How much porn can you get away with at work and how do you do it? Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Matthew writes in, okay, it's funny that the government guys were watching that much porn, but seriously, I work my ass off. I get paid crap. It really ticks me off. They're making so much money for watching porn all day and wasting our tax dollars, which we freaking work for. Complete BS, I say.
Not bad making $200,000 a year to sit in your office and watch porn. That's a good job.
Ralph did a story for us about the Security and Exchange Commission. Instead of doing the job they were paid to do, they found all these employees that were watching copious amounts of porn to the point where it sounded like an obsession. I mean, when you're filling up disks and flash drives of porn images off the computer, that's turned into your full-time job for some of those people.
And most importantly, when people are getting ripped off and the economy's crumbling around your ears.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's talk to Ken. He works in the porn industry. He wants to weigh in on this topic. Hey, Ken, on line 5. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I actually own Alisa Silver Productions, an adult production company in the industry. Right. And, you know, we're around, you know, porn all day long. And it's like we can't even look at porn for that long. You know, so, I mean, I can't really understand how, you know, our government officials, people that we elect, are just basically abusing the system. You know, these guys are definitely in the wrong business. They need to be in the porn industry. Porn or something.
I don't know that any of these were elected officials, but I am surprised that somebody could maintain the interest to look at another porn site once you get into hour 3, hour 4, hour 5, and so forth. I really am.
Well, Ken, you're just overloaded on porn, too, because you work in it. You're like, you know, working in the chocolate factory. You don't feel like going home and having a Hershey bar, you know?
Well, that's definitely true. You get snowblind after a while. I mean, if you sell cars for a living, the last thing you want to do at the end of the day is see cars. I mean, that kind of sucks for me, but, you know.
Gotcha. All right, Ken. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Tom. He's coming from the other side. He works for the government. He's on line 7.
Hello, Tom.
And joins us. I think it's a different Tom.
Oh.
Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing? Lisa May, what's up?
Not a lot.
All right.
Not my voice.
Thanks, Kathleen Turner.
So, I work for Social Security, and we don't even have access to MySpace or Facebook. I'm totally blown away that these people can have all this access to all this other crap.
They block everything for you.
Yeah.
maybe the higher up you are in the government, the fewer filters there are on your internet.
I mean, I'm assuming so, but, you know, based on what has happened, but this is just totally appalling.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you apparently need to work for a different government agency. That's what's going on here. Apparently, Social Security is not where it's at. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try David. He wants to weigh in on this story. He is on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, David. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Okay, so basically, if you looked at, if you tracked my computer, it would probably say that I was looking at porn for the past 86 hours straight. Because the way the internet works, if you go to a website and you keep that browser open, then it just looks like you're looking at that website forever. Doesn't mean that these guys were necessarily looking at porn for 8 hours straight. They could have gone to a site, they found a video they liked, they kept that open, minimized it, did work, maybe went back to it, maybe didn't. But as long as the browser was open, it looks like they were looking at porn.
I think all of that is probably true, but some of the specifics on some of these SEC employees, like a guy who tried to access porn websites 1,800 times in 2 weeks, that's not him opening one site and leaving it.
No, these are different sites. 1,800 different sites in 2 weeks.
It's unbelievable.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, the guy loves porn.
there's a guy who filled up his entire hard drive with pornographic images, had to go on to CDs and DVDs.
It's hard to fill up like a 10-gig iPod with only porn.
He got loaded, then had to start doing it, putting it on CDs separately.
Maybe we should commend these guys for being really good multitaskers.
You're absolutely right.
While being able to download all that porn.
Imagine how fast they can type with one hand.
There's the silver lining. Good call. Thank you. All week on K-Rock. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, go to kevinandbean.com. You'll see the picture of my exploding navel. Yes, my belly button is trying to escape or something. It's funny to see the comments. Thousands of people have already looked at the picture at kevinandbean.com. It's funny to see the comments on there. Lisa writes, are you growing another penis? That'd be cool, but I don't think that's true. Melissa says, hey, Bean, I think you're pregnant. That seems unlikely. Gina wants to know if it's another finger. Coffee says, what are you going to name it? Anna says, ooh, it looks like an eye. Chris says, it looks like a vagina. So there's Amy says it looks like a nipple. So everybody has an opinion on what's going on with my belly button. But I do have a doctor's appointment at 2:30 this afternoon, so we'll see if I survive the exploding belly button. You can check out the picture at kevinandbean.com. All right, let's check out the Afro line right now, 323-520-AFRO. That's the number, 24 hours a day. It's our voicemail. You leave a message on any topic. Here's one that I think is a listener who perhaps is annoyed by maybe some noises that he hears during the Kevin and Bean Show.
Who the hell keeps pressing the stupid mouse whenever someone talks? All I hear is click, 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 click,
click, click, click. That really could be any of us. We're all pretty much online during the show. Sorry about that. Of course, we never do an Afro line where somebody isn't complaining about the traffic.
You asshole hipsters and your little bikes and get the out of the way. Oh, my God, holding up traffic. What the are you doing?
That's right. I was the guy who cried out early on about the Fixie crews and their bikes all over Los Angeles causing more traffic. And I just like to say, you know, I may have started to pick up some steam in my argument. You know, people are starting to get behind me. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know that guy, as angry as he is, as frustrated as he is by the traffic, also needs to be talking on the phone while he's driving either, by the way. I don't know that that's helping him. Yesterday we had on a man. I thought he was very nice. He happened to be running a Quidditch tournament. Psycho Mike, though, being a dick, would not let him get out the information where the website is that people could go to get more information. And I think that's what this Afro call is about.
God damn you, Psycho Mike. You didn't let me get a plug. I need Quidditch.
Yesterday was also Boob Quake. If you didn't hear about this, there was an Iranian cleric who was suggesting that the reason there have been so many earthquakes in 2010 is that people are, especially young women, are getting away from their Muslim beliefs. They're starting to show too much skin. They need to be dressed more modestly. So there was a blogger in the Midwest who suggested that women should show as much cleavage as possible yesterday. And if you didn't hear how that worked out, check out this update.
Two earthquakes today. Boob quake worked! What's next? Vagina quake.
I can't wait. That's going to be fun. We talked to Mayor Villaraigosa from the great city of Los Angeles every once in a while, and I think he's very, very funny to this listener who listens while he's stoned.
Yo, dude, we're like, whoever's doing the freaking mayor's voice on the last skit, sounded like Scarface, and I was tripping out. I was like, what? Is Scarface like a president? Is like Scarface a mayor? I was like, what? I was like tripping out, dude, but I love you guys' show, and everyone's cool. Except Bean.
Hey! Hey! Why does this sound like it's always 420 at that guy's house? Lisa May was on vacation last week. That's where she developed whatever the hell's going on with her voice.
Lisa's on vacation. Is she at Butthole Week? I thought she was not going to compete anymore. Or are they using her in some other capacity?
I am now a judge.
You're judging now,
yeah,
right?
I judge. And I also train.
I was going to say, you have that seminar that you do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Every year.
Well, you did retire at the top, or in the case of Butthole Week, at the bottom.
Yes.
So congratulations on that. We have a summer concert that we put on the flagship radio station of the Kevin and Bean Show every year, and I think it's never too early to start getting calls about that.
Okay, Coachella's over. Enough chit-chat. It's time for Rainy Rose tickets!
We do give that information out on the air. We don't make you guess. I promise we'll have that for you when it's time to have that for you. Maybe not right now. A lot of controversy stirred up by the show Glee. Most of us here on the show seem to enjoy it very much. Omar, not so much. That's what this call's about.
Kevin, you have lost all semblance of manhood in my eyes. I watched an episode of Glee, the Madonna episode, the one that you told Omar, give it that one episode, and I could barely stop from scratching my eyes out. It is horrible. Sorry, you're going to have to bleep that, but expletives are in order here. Ugh, I am just so furious at you. Glee sucks. Omar, slap Kevin for me. You were right. He was wrong. Enough said.
You think this is hard? I'm passing a gallstone as we speak. That's hard.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number if you want to call the Kevin and Bean Afro line. 106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock Q. It's 852.
All right, hey, Mike. My butt. Still hungry, bro.
Oh.
I don't think we don't have any time for that. I'm sorry. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
You know, we were speaking about government and porn earlier in the hour, and it reminded me of a friend of mine who is she's a stand-up comedian, and she uses sort of a catchphrase in her act that she wanted to trademark and put on merchandise and T-shirts and whatnot. And I can't say what the phrase is here on the radio.
Oh.
So there's a questionable word in it.
Okay.
Okay.
A euphemism for the culmination of a sexual encounter for a man, let's
all right.
say.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Which is where you pay the hooker.
Right. And so she went to put the trademark in, and they denied her the trademark, saying that it was an obscene phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't trademark obscene phrases, apparently. So she countered and saying that it wasn't, and gave them several examples of that word being used in a non-obscene way. And they countered by sending her 10 megabytes of internet porn featuring that word with photographs.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, what government agency is this guy from where he's just surfing them, sending me basically porn all the time?
That took him hours.
Emailed her a giant package of porn with all these collected photographs and pornography and stories featuring that word.
God,
it was just creepy.
It was creepy. I'm going to try to trademark effing a supermodel and see what they do for me.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be able to. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? MIA's new video. Everybody's talking about it. So
it's
graphic
good.
And disturbing. Not even YouTube will post it. They've pulled it from YouTube. It's a 9-minute clip. Premiered yesterday on MIA's website. And people are talking about it.
Can I ask you this? YouTube has a no nudity policy.
Yeah.
And there is some full frontal old people nudity in the video. I wonder if that's the reason.
I do not know. But the video apparently is no longer on YouTube. You can't see it there. You can see it on her website, I believe.
And KevinAB.com. We put it up there this morning as well. It's a real good video. I mean, it really does look like you're watching The Hurt Locker. I mean, it's pretty intense.
Military police rounding up redheaded boys, beating them and shooting them. That's what you like, Bean? You think that's
Ginger good? And proud of it.
Oh, man. You like the gingers. That's what you are.
Bean. Ginger hater.
Whitney Houston is done. She's finished. Put a fork in her.
I really? Think so. I think you're right.
She was singing at a sold-out concert in London at the O2 Arena, and she was awful. Apparently, fans started streaming out the doors when she went into I Will Always Love You, her smash hit from Bodyguard.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
The Evening Standard newspaper said that fabulous voice is utterly, utterly torn to shreds. She says during one point in the performance that she wasn't even going to try to hit the high notes.
She's just lost it completely?
Yeah, she's fried.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, no, you didn't.
How?
Lindsay Lohan may be on her last legs. Insider, close to Lindsay, tells TMZ.com that she's simply, in their words, a lost cause. Those are the kind of friends you want talking to the press, by the way.
Right.
Apparently, Michael Lohan, Lindsay's dad, says that he feels like he needs now to step in and be the conservator over her life like Jamie Spears is with Britney. How bad is your life when Michael Lohan wants to come in and run it for you?
I don't know what there is to run.
That's a good point, Lisa. Just keeping her away from drugs, I guess, but I appreciate that he's her father and maybe he does care about her. He seems like the wrong choice to get her back on track because he's got his own problems.
And she hates him.
Yeah, they don't get along at all.
Oh.
We talk all the time about TV shows being turned into movies. Every once in a while, it happens the other way. Jason Statham's movies, the Transporter films, apparently being turned into a TV series. Daily Variety has announced that the company is working on a TV series that will be released for European TV. And if it does well throughout Europe, it will be seen here in the States as well. I think that could be a good series.
He drives and kicks a lot of ass.
He sure does. Transporter is kind of like what Human Target is now. With Christopher Chance on Fox, which is another show that I like a lot. But.
Well, speaking of comic books, I was in town, of course, for Coachella and our live Cypress Hill broadcast. I was in Los Angeles, and I took occasion to go buy the Golden Apple, as I do sometimes.
Ah, love it.
And I picked up that Kick-Ass fun book.
Yeah, it's a good comic book.
The Kick-Ass comic book, I guess, which is the reason why they made it a movie, is because it was real popular. But is that something that that you're into, something you've read?
Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass,
yeah. I read. Did you pick up the hardback?
Yeah. I didn't buy it, but I did look at it, yeah.
Oh, you just stood there and read it like it's a freaking library?
Well, I mean, I flipped through it. I wanted to see what it was all about. I'd never seen the comic before.
Cheap bastard.
And I was impressed by it. That's what I'm telling you.
No, yeah. I read it in its original incarnation when it was just the separate issues, and I always loved it. And I was really pleased with the film version as well.
Yeah, good stuff.
Spin Magazine is celebrating its 25th anniversary this month. And the magazine has listed the 125 best albums, in their opinion, since they began publication in 1985. Here are the top 10. See what you believe to be true or not. The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails, number 10 on the list.
Yeah.
Slanted and Enchanted by Pavement was 9 on their list. Rid of Me, PJ Harvey, was 8th. Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses, number 7. I heard that again in its entirety recently. What a great album that is.
That it's so much different than any other hard rock album. And that if you were to play, make it a Glee version, if you were to make hip-hop versions of those songs, they stand up. They're just such well-written songs. Yeah.
It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Public Enemy, 6th on the list. OK Computer by Radiohead was 5th. Nevermind, Nirvana's classic, was 4th on the list. The Queen is Dead, The Smiths, was 3rd. Sign of the Times, Prince. They gave the second best album, in their opinion.
Interesting
choice. Their list. And the number one best album since 1985, in Spin Magazine's opinion?
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Octung Baby by U2.
Oh, how about that?
Fascinating list, I thought. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I thought it was interesting.
No.
Come on. Speaking of the countdown doesn't stop, Casey Kasem. 78 years old today. Legendary.
The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
That's right. Legendary broadcaster, animated voiceover artist for many years, too. He was Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo cartoons, played Robin in the Super Friends.
Gotta be filthy stinking, right?
You'd have to think. He's got that tall, giant, blonde wife of his.
Nice.
Jean Kasem, remember her?
Rex her.
Yeah, sure.
You made a good guess, but it's not the right one.
Oh, sorry, Kasem. He is 78 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 62. Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Yeah.
Celebrates his 59th birthday. Singer Sheena Easton celebrates her 51st birthday. Patrick Stump, a Fallout Boy, singer and guitarist, is 26. And William Mosley from the Chronic What? Nichols of Yarnia.
No way.
I didn't get that quite right. He is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I should be coming up.
but I'm coming down.
Yeah. 106.7 KROQ is the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:09. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I apologize for my voice today. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'm powering on. Ralph Garman is here in studio along with Lisa, who sounds even worse than I do, which is actually making me feel pretty good.
Yes.
My pleasure.
A few years ago, you for all the years that you were a minority being a comic book geek, the tipping point happened. And now all of a sudden it seems like there are more comic book fans than there are people who aren't into the books anymore.
How about that, bitches? How do you like me now? We rule the entertainment world.
Seems like.
Indeed. And that is why Iron Man 2 is the most anticipated movie of 2010. It comes out a week from Friday, but you can see it a week from today at the Arclight in Hollywood. 1-800-520-1067. If you're a comic book geek and you want to play Name That Avenger.
Hey, comic book geeks. If you want to see Iron Man 2,
the Avengers, of which Iron Man is a part, are what, Ralph, for the uninitiated?
The Avengers are the group of superheroes. Just think basically the Marvel Comics version of the Justice League of America, if you remember Superfriends and those guys. Okay? The Avengers is a group of superheroes who fight evil together. And over the years, the Avengers have been around since 1963. There's been many members that have come and gone. But Iron Man has always been a staple of the Avengers. And in fact, in 2012/2013, we're going to see an Avengers movie where all of these Marvel superhero characters will be working together. And apparently Joss Whedon has been signed up to write and direct the film from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So
perfect,
it's very exciting. So we thought we would play a little game called Name That Avenger. Well, I will describe a member of the Avengers, either past or present. And if you're a comic book fan, it should be easy enough for you to tell me who I'm talking about.
Okay, and if you're right, we give you tickets to go see 1 week from tonight, Iron Man 2, 3 days ahead of the opening. Let's take them in order, Mike. We'll start with line one, and Adrian will be our first contestant. You get it right, you're going to the movie. Hi, Adrian. You're on with Ralph. Listen up.
Adrian, this guy was one of the original Avengers, and if you get him angry, he becomes a gamma radiation-powered giant, but luckily never outgrows his pants.
That was Ant-Man?
No.
Oh, come on.
Who are you that?
Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, you answered too late.
The Incredible Ant-Hulk. Ant-Man, my ass. Yeah. Let's try Dale, line two. Hi, Dale. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen up for your question.
How's it going?
Dale, this red, white, and blue hero became the leader of the Avengers after they found him frozen in ice where he'd been since World War II.
Captain America.
Captain America, indeed.
There you go. Congratulations. You're going to Iron Man 2. Well played, my friend. Well played. Let's try Chris. Line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, are you ready to name that Avenger?
I hope so.
All right, Chris. Maybe the only superhero mocked more than Aquaman, this founding Avenger has all the powers of a bug that you can fry with a magnifying glass.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, indeed.
That is absolutely right.
Ant-Man.
Now, Ant-Man is not going to make the cut and be in the movie, is he, Ralph?
They're giving Ant-Man his own movie, Beam.
Really? No.
There's an Ant-Man movie in the works.
In Ant-Man's defense, an ant is one of the strongest animals on the planet.
Can lift 10 times its own weight.
So he could crush your ass.
Yes. Yeah. But of course, Ant-Man shrinks down to about the size of an ant when he's working, so he can lift like a grain of sand.
Let's try Moses. He's on line five. Hey, Moses, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Well, yes, I'm ready.
All right. We referenced Aquaman earlier. This one-time Avenger is basically the same guy, except he has pointed ears, wears a Speedo, and is considered much cooler.
Thor?
No, I'm sorry. No. The Submariner, we're thinking of.
That was, in fact, a terrible guess, but thank you for playing anyway.
Thinking about Namor, the Submariner. Who's sure, like Aquaman, only he looks like Spock, kind of.
Ew. Andre is on line six. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to name that Avenger?
Yeah, let's do it.
These are not comic book fans, by the way, these people. I'm telling you.
So far,
I'm disappointed. All right, here's your question. This original Avenger is actually a god who fights evil by swinging his mighty hammer. And no, that's not a euphemism.
That would be Thor.
That is Thor.
There we go. All right, is anyone keeping track? How many have we given away so far? Is that three?
I think we've given away three so far.
All right, we got two more to go. Let's try John, line seven, please. Hi, John. Welcome to Name That Avenger. Listen up for your question.
Scraggalagin.
What's crack-a-lacking as well?
John, this bird-themed Avenger has not only been Captain America's longtime partner, but was also the first mainstream African-American superhero.
The Panther?
No, I'm sorry. You're thinking Black Panther, but no, he's not. It was the Falcon. Falcon was who was looking for.
So. Named after Michael Vick, if I recall correctly.
I think that's
right, Ralph?
Absolutely correct, yes.
Let's try Ricky, line 8. Hi, Ricky. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Get set to name that Avenger.
Good morning.
All right, Ricky. This hero is a reserve member of the Avengers and has had three of his own very successful movies where he's conquered all evil except for Kirsten Dunst's teeth.
I'm going to say Spider-Man.
You'd be absolutely correct, yes.
Well done. Well done. Congratulations. You're going to see Iron Man 3 days before it opens. Let's try Paul on line 3. Try to give away that last pair of passes to see Iron Man 2.
Yeah, Paul, I'm ready.
Paul, you a comic book fan?
Kind of.
Well, this should be a lot of confidence here.
Interesting. Although he leads his own quartet of superheroes, this stretchy genius was an Avenger for a short time along with his invisible wife.
Unfortunate.
Looking for Mr. Fantastic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he says, like, yeah, I do that. Yeah, of course. I do that. Thanks for playing Name That Avenger.
Thanks for playing Name That Avenger.
Gordon, tummy is swelling up.
And here's a good reminder, if you're away from the show or unable to listen when you want, you can always go to kevinandbean.com and check out the podcast. Dave does a pretty good job of getting the podcast up every day so you can hear what you've missed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
What? Why? Uh-huh.
Just saying, one showbiz beat a day in the podcast.
Well, yeah, but it...
One showbiz.
But I think it gives you the flavor of what showbiz stories we're talking about for that day. We can't include everything.
Well, let's give the flavor of what you do on the show then. That one break with you in it. See how you sound. Just saying. I don't need flavor.
Time for the showbiz beat. Let's see if this is the one that makes the podcast or not. Here's Ralph.
I bet not, because it's got me bashing David, and I'm sure he'll cut it out.
Oh, that's right.
No. I have control over you with the podcast. You won't be in it.
You won't be in the podcast.
I'm going to save you some time, people. How often does someone get a chance to save you some time during the day? I will save you precious minutes that you would have wasted otherwise, and you can do something more productive with that time.
What a gift.
It is a gift, Mike. I'm going to save you the time it's going to take you to spread this rumor about Lindsay Lohan that is not, in fact, true. Lindsay Lohan is not HIV positive.
Oh.
Where did that come from?
Well, it's all over the internet right now because someone hacked into Michael Lohan's Twitter account this morning. Someone with, obviously, a very sick mind. And sent out a series of tweets claiming that Lindsay Lohan had an affair with music mogul Tommy Mottola, and that she is currently HIV positive.
Well, that's ugly. That's an ugly rumor.
It's coming from Michael's account, but they have learned it has been hacked into. Here's what the tweet reads. It's time you learn the truth about Tommy Mottola engaging in an affair with my then 17-year-old daughter, the truth about my daughter living with HIV for the rest of her life as a result of the decision she has made.
Wow, how ugly is that?
That is brutal and disgusting and truly, truly disturbing. I hope they catch whoever did that, but anyway, not true. So as you see it pop up on your internet throughout your day, you can scoff at it, laugh, and then show up your superiority to your friends by correcting them. So there you go. So
but Bret Michaels is still dead, because all over the internet today too, right?
He is way dead.
Right.
from bandana death.
From bandana cancer. That's right. He had a tumor on his bandana. It's horrible. Unfortunately, this is true. Tita Ortiz and Jenna Jameson, at the very best, fighting. At the very worst, if you believe the allegations, Tito Ortiz was arrested for felony domestic violence against his girlfriend Jenna Jameson yesterday.
That is adorable.
He called a press conference to tell his side of the story, where he claimed he never touched Jenna, and that Jenna has been fighting a battle with an OxyContin addiction, and it was him confronting her about her drug problem that led to the argument, where police showed up and they claimed she had visible injuries on her arm. And so he got taken in for abuse charges. But he says he never touched her. So we'll have to wait and see. And then meanwhile, Jen is saying she doesn't have a drug problem. Somebody's lying. They've got two kids too, which is kind of sad.
It's a sad situation, yeah.
Yeah. Noah Wiley's got a new girlfriend. According to Star Magazine, it's Gina Gershon.
Yeah. Ooh.
Noah Wiley, of course, of ER, Gina Gershon from Showgirls and from Bound. She's hot. And apparently they've been keeping their relationship under wraps, but they took a vacation together and they were photographed
hugging and holding hands, and apparently they're willing to go public. So congratulations to the two of them. Alicia Keys.
All right.
She is dating Swiss Beatz, and apparently he is really trying to impress his future mother-in-law. According to the New York Daily News, he threw a big party for Keisha's mom, Teresa, where she got serenaded by her daughter. And Alicia's fiancé took her outside and handed her the keys to a brand new Cadillac. That's the way to impress your future mother.
No kidding.
There. You give her a caddy.
I didn't know that Alicia Keys dated men, by the way.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. I've never really noticed her being linked to any guys. So that is a surprise to me to hear that she's actually engaged.
Yes. Swiss Beatz.
I mean, I love her so much. Whatever makes her happy, I'm fine with.
She really is a talented, beautiful woman.
She's the best, yeah.
Movie news. Casting decision may have already been made about the sequel to the Wanted film. This was kind of an interesting story because, I don't know if you saw Wanted with Angelina Jolie and James...
McAvoy,
yeah. Which I thought was a real entertaining film. They wanted a sequel, and they wanted Angelina Jolie to return to the film. Problem is, if you remember the end of that film, spoiler alert, she gets a bullet in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were going to sort of fudge it and bring her back, but Angelina Jolie said no, it wouldn't be right, and she backed out of the film. So looking for a female star, and word is that Kristen Stewart really wanted to play the new hit girl in the Wanted film franchise, but fans and producers alike apparently not too thrilled with that idea. The front runner currently, according to AbsoluteNow.com, is Keira Knightley.
No.
To play the assassin teamed up with James McAvoy. So,
well, she's a good actress. She certainly has more energy.
Yeah. And if you ever saw Domino, the movie where she played the model slash bounty
hunter. She was great.
She can pull off that action stuff pretty well. So I think they might have made a good choice there. Yeah.
By the way, I'm glad you... It's funny you said spoiler alert. I got a very angry email from somebody yesterday who was really ticked off at me for revealing something about making some mention to the end of the last Dexter season. What's the statute of limitations on spoiler alerts? If it's been a couple of months since something has been in theaters or on TV, it should be fair game to discuss, right?
I think if it's a high-profile show and it's a season finale or special episode,
of course,
it's next day. Next day, game on. If you're not, if you love Dexter so much, you would have effing watched it when it was on television.
Well, what if you work at nights?
TiVo, bitch.
That's my point. But what if, let's say you're a radio personality.
But
you
waited 2 months.
Well, how
it
was 2 months? How many accommodations are we making for how many different minority
groups
months. Of people?
I'm not trying to defend this guy that emailed Bean, but I'm saying one day, that's a little close.
No, it's not. If it's a major event, especially a season finale, like when The Lost goes off the air, the final Lost episode.
I will not be able to watch Lost.
You won't watch it. Well, below me, because we're all going to be talking about it the next day. Everyone else who has a life and is real people will be talking about it the next day. And if you don't want to hear it, then you just stay away from us.
I just felt that it was okay to discuss Dexter at this point, because
I'm saying, you know,
it's not really on me if he didn't watch it.
If it was the next day, it wouldn't have been on you. Because if you're really a fan and you really cared, you certainly would have watched it when it aired. And if not then shortly thereafter.
Okay. So, I'm glad you got my back on that. I appreciate that.
You are guilty of many things, my friend Dean. But that is not one of them. So there you go. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs in stores today. It's Complicated, the Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin, and Steve Martin movie. It's coming out today. The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, Heath Ledger's last film, even though he only got to partially film that motion picture, directed by former Monty Python Terry Gilliam, is also available on DVD for TV shows on DVD. The Hills, Season 5, Part 2 is available now. And G.I. Joe, Real American Hero.
That's the TV show?
The cartoon, the animated show.
Awesome.
Yeah, Season 2 is available today. CDs, B.O.B. presents The Adventures of Bobby Ray.
Ooh.
Featuring the song Airplanes, which has Haley Williams from Paramore.
Haley.
On that track. And I'm telling you, everyone here at the station is just buzzing about this album. DJ Omar Khan said he had it in his car over the weekend, never took it out of the CD player. That's all he listened to all weekend.
It is excellent. It really reminds you of like the early 90s rap, before gangster rap took over. It's got a really creative and different musical sound to it. It's very good.
If you haven't heard Airplanes,
makes you happy.
Here's the tune. Listen for Haley.
Yeah. Before they ever once compared me to Andre, before I ever got on my space, before they ever noticed my face. Yeah. So let's just pretend and make wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky?
Strong.
That's great.
Catchy stuff right there. Also on CD today, the new Hole CD featuring Courtney Love. It's called
Nobody's Daughter. We've been playing a couple tracks from that, and here's a little taste. Skinny white bitch.
Yep.
I mean, that's the name of the song. I'm not just, you know, right, talking about Courtney Love. It's important to make that clarification.
We have another clip real quick I'd like to play. This is Pacific Coast Highway. This is a song she thought was going to be the hit on all the record execs and everybody thought should be the single.
Uh-huh.
And she really pushed for Skinny Little Bitch because she thought that would kind of get her back in her rockin' mode. But
right,
this song's pretty good. It's more of a ballad, kind of an introverted song.
Anything else you'd like to add to the showbiz beat, Mike? No, I'm just curious, man.
I was just saying that was the one that everybody chose to be the single.
Some clips of some TV shows that you like, you'd like to showcase?
Let's fully sum up.
What, Love Line's not enough for you anymore? You're having your own show, and now you got to start busting other people's bits?
I mean, basically what Mike is doing is saying that, Ralph, you're not covering the topic to his satisfaction. Yeah, here, let me show you how it's done.
Right, he had to augment it because my coverage was not acceptable to him.
Barely was wanting.
Why don't you just write it for me? Just write the showbiz beats for me from now on. I'll just perform the way you want me to do them.
I have to write it too?
Yeah.
All right.
You're like George Harrison saying to Paul McCartney, just tell me what you want me to play and I'll just play it. All right?
Right?
What do I know?
Today's celebrity birthday is Casey Kasem. He's 78 years old today. For those of you who don't know, he was a longtime host of America's Top 10 Countdown. I think some little gnome does it now, but Casey was the man who invented that, and it's very entertaining. 78 years old today. Also the voice of Shaggy on the Scooby-Doo cartoons. Like Zoink Scoob.
Does he talk?
I'm scared.
Does he talk like Shaggy when he's wrecking his young blonde wife?
I don't think so. She's not young anymore, by the way, though, Gene Kasem.
No!
78 years old today. Kate Pierce of the B-52s is 62. Guitarist Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Yeah.
Now he is, I believe, over at Burger King on La Brea, I believe, here in Los Angeles.
He released a new album. It's not Kiss.
He didn't release it. It escaped. He's 59 years old today. Sheena Easton, famous singer back in the 80s, is 51. Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy celebrates his 26th birthday cake today. And William Mosley of the Chronic, what? Coles of Narnia is 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And I hope I will feel better and sound better tomorrow, as
likewise,
well as for Lisa May.
Yep.
And I hope your stomach doesn't explode between now and then.
I do have a doctor's appointment today, so we'll see how that goes. We will come back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Lisa May got taken advantage of, and not in the way we all have dreamed it would happen.
No.
She didn't end up tied up in my basement. She actually bought something that was counterfeit while she was on vacation. We're going to talk to you about the ways that you've got scammed, because no matter how hard you try, invariably, at some point in your life, you're going to realize you got suckered. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Also, our friend Kat Von D from the LA Inc. show is going to be joining us tomorrow. She always has a lot going on. We love her so much. More tickets for Iron Man 2. Get a chance to see it 3 days before it opens for the rest of us. We'll give you tickets so you can win. And Ralph, are you very excited? We're talking to the director of Sharktopus tomorrow.
Damn you, Sharktopus! Declan O'Brien is his name, and he's actually been in contact. He sent me a very nice email when everything went down with my son and my daughter. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. I've never spoken with him, but he seems very nice.
And I hope it gets you in the movie. Plus, a new film that you may need to be into that we just caught wind of called The Human Centipede. That also sounds pretty darned awesome. So all of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Cat's next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from Spoon. Also some Slightly Stupid, Green Day, Stained, Blink-182, and more. Next after this on K-Rock.